Good morning. So here we go again. Good to be here. Thank you for letting me speak. I'm still fighting with my English, so that would have to be on you to bear with me, okay? Right. Being from a different country, being from the other part of the world, gives you an opportunity but a lot of responsibilities. Being a stranger, in many ways, takes upon you the diligence of the message that you have to deliver. See, there's so many differences around the world. But once you stepped out of your county, your city, your country, you'll find out that the world out there is totally different. Totally different. It may look the same. People may look the same, but they talk differently. They eat differently. They express themselves differently. And it gives you, once again, opportunity and responsibility. And just give me a few minutes and I'll explain where I'm heading. Then I remember about, 20-some years ago, I came from my second seminary in England. And while I was going through my course, the very first few weeks in England, I mean, the food is funny. And where do you go? Make it easy. That's where you go. McDonald's, that's the place to go. I mean, that's the safe harbor. Well, you're saying wow because you think of Mickey D's, but it's something that you know, something you can trust, something you can, you know, affiliate with. You may not be a big fan of a burger, but that's something that you can, you know the layers, okay? They always exact. You may not be happy with a particular one, but you're happy with the fact that you know them. And I remember this without thinking twice. I'm not big on burgers, but I used to love milkshakes until they begin to use sugar instead of water, which means it's too sweet. I can't take it. But I looked through the menu, and there was just one particular taste that I wanted to try, and that was the banana milkshake. So I'm placing my order. And the waiter, bless her heart, I mean, she's a wonderful girl, and she kind of says, what would you like? What would you like? And I said, I would like to have a banana milkshake. She kind of looked at me like, a vanilla? I checked myself twice. No, a banana, B. A vanilla? No, B, banana. And I begin to nervous by this point. I'm thinking, it's either the wrong place, or I'm an alien, or something else. I'm looking straight into her eyes. I'm trying to get a simple thing, item on a menu, a banana milkshake. No, it doesn't work this way. And it took her about a few seconds, and then she kind of exhaled. Oh, the banana milkshake. Yes, the yellow thing. That was my first experience, and the reason why I'm telling you that, although we all look the same, we tend to, you know, have a different perception towards what we hear. How do we process that, and what do we do with it afterwards? So, if you would please turn with me to the book of Romans. Chapter 10, Book of Romans, chapter 10. I don't know what Bible translation do you read before I get into my favorite and you stone me to death. Some anything you, all kinds, that's good. Means I got an opportunity. Okay. Romans chapter 10. Hold on a second, I'll give you a verse just. Okay. I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation, if you haven't heard it. I mean, I kind of like that. But it's the same in your Bible, almost. Just maybe a few words there, here and there, but that's okay. Verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. In what is God's living message? It is the revelation of faith for salvation, which is the message that we preach. For if you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. The heart that believes in him receives the gift of righteousness of God, and then mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. For scriptures encourage us with these words: everyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. I mean, this is a very exciting passage. I remember my first few years with Christ. This was the basis of my faith, of my hope. Although the world around me seemed the same, I had a strong conviction and witnessed that something in me has been changed. There was something profound happened to me that I could not describe with words. So the Paul writes in the verse 9, he said, what is the God's living message? I mean, what is it? What do we say? What do we deliver? I mean, why is it important? We often talk a lot about the message itself, but a very few times we talk about the messenger. We know what the message is. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's that simple that anybody can do it. I mean, anyone can do that. It tells us that if you believe in your heart, and if you confess with your mouth, then you shall be saved. There's nothing we can do. We can't work it out. We can earn it. It's already been given to us. We can only accept it. It may sound simple, but here's the hard part. Let me go all the way down to the verse 14. Verse 14. But how can people call on him, which is God, for help if they have not yet believed? And how can they believe in the one they have not yet heard of? And how can they hear the message of life if there is no one there to proclaim it? And how can the message be proclaimed if messengers have not yet been sent? That's why the scriptures say, how welcome is the arrival of those proclaiming the joyful news of peace, of good things to come. Let's distance ourselves from the church structure. I know we are in the church. Well, let's say I'm a stranger. I'm allowed. I'm here just for a few days and I'm gone. So you can blame it on me, okay? You know, when the COVID hit, well, we all know what happened, right? Life slowed down. Things got closed up. We went on a complete lockdown. Same thing back home. Same thing back home. So what do you do? What do you do? How do you get to normal? What's the new normal now? It was an invitation for us as the church to rethink the role of the messenger, in my opinion. I don't have much time, so I'm getting right to the meat, if you don't mind. See, if we would distance ourselves from the church structure, we realize that there is the whole world out there of different people, made of different people, different nationalities, races, and tribes, and so on, and different walks of life. Although we may look the same, but as I told you in my story, as simple as ordering a milkshake can become a problem. In a country that does speak English, right? Well, actually, we stole it from them, but that's the other story. Right? It's no longer a banana, it's a banana. And that little shift of the vowel makes that big of a difference. So as you can imagine, if you would like to get a tomato juice, you would run into a problem. It's no longer a tomato, it's a tomato. Same thing goes for potato. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. Why am I telling you this? Because the message never changes. What is this message we read in the verse 9? What is it? I mean, it's pretty simple. It's a joyful message of salvation. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he has died for your sins, was risen from the dead, and now alive and resides in heaven on the right hand of his Father, and you confess with your mouth, then you shall be saved. Once again, there's nothing that can be done from your end, my end, to earn it. It has been given to us. There's nothing I can do to earn my father's love, my mother's love. I am accepted because they are my parents. They have given me life. They nurtured me. There's nothing I can do. I can be only grateful. And whatever I do afterwards, I can just express my gratitude. My mom has passed away. Long time ago. Oops. My dad passed away maybe a few years ago. And I got to admit, there's something missing. That acceptance, that a family feeling that you can just be yourself. I may not have had the best understanding between myself and my mother because I choose Christ and she didn't. She was quite opposite. But it was always this bond. I could have come to her and just be myself and she would accept me. So that's exactly the same thing with your Heavenly Father. I mean, he has sent his son because he loved you. He wanted to be with you, but he was willing to go beyond just wishing. He sacrificed something. And this is the message. It stays the same. It's very simple. It helped me to completely turn around my life in 1991. And God never changes. It's the same God. He can do it for you today. For all of us. For our children, our grandchildren. For the people outside of these church walls. But here comes this. I don't know how to describe. The time. Phew, I lost the word. I'm sorry. The speed of time. You know, time flies. Time goes by. And with the time passing, the passing of a time, with the time passing, here's what happens. The new culture are being introduced. New ways of thinking, new ways of approaching things, new ways of anything. When I was born, I've heard about coffee. When I grew up, I've tried it. And for me, coffee was coffee. Here's my perception, and some dear people here would understand me. In my mind, coffee was only one thing. Only instant. That was the only thing available. Then when I grew up and I was able to make my walks into the city and back and buy things, I realized, coffee is not just instant. It could be something else. But where I was born, the way they was making it, it was the Turkish way. And a little tiny pot in the sand. And I didn't like the taste. I didn't like it. Until this strange fellow from Lancaster came to my country. He opened up the whole world for me. The coffee could be a latte, a cappuccino, and you name it. But life does not end here. Here's what happens. We took, in March this year, my boss sent me on an assignment to Seattle. Not the best place to be. I mean, although it's beautiful. So, and we went for breakfast to a, you know, I don't know, a place I don't even remember the name. And I'm reading the menu. And yes, I'm seeing all the cappuccino, all the chino you can find. And here is this scary word, corte. What? Yeah. There's something, see, you never even heard it. So this is the coffee with half and half only, made in the form of a cappuccino. Why are you making it so hard? It's just a coffee. It's not instant. It's the good one. But they coming up with all those names that we're not, even myself, I'm not familiar with. I have to learn that. And I just realized there are a few more words now that has been added to the menu. Fancy, you know, West Coast type of stuff. This is just coffee. They throw in different components to it, but it doesn't change the core value of it or core meaning. That's just the coffee bean grinded into whatever, in a mash, and then it got brewed. That's all it is. But because the culture have taken it up all the way up there, you have to adjust. The reason why I'm telling you all of that is very simple. The message that we preach stays the same. But the methods and the way you deliver it is evolving always. It's changing. You may not like it, and I would understand you. Seriously. It's not comfortable. Things are changing. It's not comfortable, although I'm not an old man. I'm not a mature man, excuse me. But my son now throws, you know, here and now, these words. Dad, you don't get it. What? What do you mean I don't get it? I told you that. No, you're missing the point. You are old-fashioned. What are you talking about? No, seriously, you don't understand. What I don't understand? The white is white. The black is black. The sky is blue. What else is out there? Corte. Something else. Why is it important? Because if you want to relate to the different group of people, you have to speak their language. It doesn't mean that you have to embrace their way of life. But if you want to be understood, if you want to deliver the magnificent message of Christ, which stays simple for other ages and centuries, Christ has died for your sins, as was risen from the dead for your redemption. How to make it shine for someone who is from a different walk of life comes down to the one simple fact: the quality of the messenger. Can we agree to this? Quality of the messenger. It's no longer I have to deliver the message. Now you have to add another layer to it. You have to deliver it with a style. It's a quality. Quality. How do you communicate with people? How do you present the message? We've heard wonderful testimonies and preaching about that we are the messengers. The best way to preach the gospel is by your living it out. That's the best way. I'm going to tell you a few examples. Hopefully, I'm hoping to encourage you. See, verse 14 tells us that, I mean, it's going to be great if someone would believe the message. It would certainly benefit them. But how are they going to believe if no one is going to tell them? How someone is going to tell them if he's not being sent? How someone is going to be sent if you're not going to give them a kick? Launch them into the mission. See, these are the questions that kind of bothered me during the last year. Although it was a lockdown, although it was pandemic, whatever, whoever calls it, I realized God is still on the throne. The reality is changing, but God is not. Now the main question is, what do I do? How do I present it? What is my role? And I began to build friendships with my neighbors. I live in an apartment complex, beautiful building, right on the lake. And there's some group of people out there. And I'm not, it's not a rocket science that I'm about to tell you. I mean, it's very simple, but my biggest desire is to encourage you to, you know, consider a Corte approach. Something that you have never tried before. You know, I begin to build friendship with neighbors that I may not have much in common, but because we're neighbors, we begin to do things together. They've had this community work days when we would work on our, lawn or, cutting off the branches and, making our place look great and shiny. So you work together with them. You not necessarily do the church thing to them, but you begin to preach with your own life. Here's the fun part. By becoming friends with them, I'm spending time drinking coffee, talking about life, expressing my opinions. I do acknowledge God, and I tell them straight. But I'm allowing this freedom, this flexibility for me to present it in the language and language they would understand. Give me a few minutes, I'll explain. All of them are friends, are my friends on Facebook. They all reading my posts. They don't like them, but they do read them. So it's not a secret who I am. It's not a secret for them. They do know, but they still stick to me. So I do stick to them. And we walk through life together. And it's amazing what begin to happen. They don't run to the church, but there is thing I've been built called trust. Trust. They trust you. When there is a problem, who do they go to? Someone who they trust. How are you going to build the trust? You have to begin somewhere. You have to start building your trust by spending your life with these people and shining the light of the gospel on them, but just sharing your life, your values, the principles you believe, the word of God, the testimony. during Landmark, Apostle Dale came up at the very first meeting and he just gave a short speech about the universe and the way the things in the universe set in a certain pattern that is not going to change. So we're going to begin on time. We are going to end on time. And I was captivated by these words, the universe, universe, universe. And then I just recall the book by C.S. Lewis. When he was telling it, and I'm gonna take it to a little bit of a scientific field right now, so bear with me. And he was talking in one of his books, he was talking about one thing that I found very encouraging. So he describes, and this is not the secret, you can find it. You can read about it. So the scientists, let's say about 100 years ago, they used to think that every molecule, there we go, are set in a certain trajectory that never changes. It is exact. You could mathematically predict and reckon where it's going to be, so everything goes according to a certain rules. That's all good. Until about 50 years ago, they came up to a different conclusion. the first discovery was totally wrong. Every molecule in atom goes in a trajectory that is unpredictable. It has its own system that the whole universe sticks together, not because we understood the principles based on the very little, I can't think of a word, molecule, from the simplest to the most complicated, you know, pieces of universe. Yes, it does stick together, but not based on that particular discovery. Every molecule goes in its own trajectory. It may not sound right to you. I mean, who cares? I mean, I don't see them, right? But here's the point. It looks like we ran into a very complicated issue. Let me try to explain. If there is a world that I can understand by learning the principles upon which the world functions, then I can get a good grasp and understanding of how the world operates, and I can find my place in it. But the sets of rules and laws are operating based on different system, although I don't understand it, I have to acknowledge that the system exists above what I understand. Simply saying, it proves that there is God. It proves that God runs the universe based on a different law. And if you don't understand, it doesn't matter. It still works. It's just different. We thought it works this way. Guess what? It doesn't. It works otherwise, but it still functions. He is above. There is an extra layer. It's a different dimension. Different dimension that runs our dimension. With this being said, a little story. Do we still have time? Just, you know, a few more minutes. Just a great example. I've only had 5 days to pack my stuff and come here. And I bought my ticket, and the ticket was great. I flew through Istanbul, Turkey, but I had this 19-hour layover. I mean, which usually is fun because they provide, Turkish Airlines provide a free hotel for you. I mean, it's fun. You get a chance to get a Turkish breakfast. I'll never regret that. So I landed pretty late. It's a midnight. So I'm coming up to their service explaining my case, and they are telling me, not today. You are not going to get a hotel room. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. You sold me that ticket, right? It was your idea to connect those flights a certain way. It was your set of law. I mean, you came up with this connection, right? Right. I bought it. I finished my part. Then do yours for me. No, not today. So they kicked me out, and I'm in the middle of an airport. I don't know what to do, where I'm going to spend the night. So I begin to worry, but then suddenly there was such a great peace. When you think about 12-hour flight next day and then 19-hour in the airport, it, trust me, take my word for it, that is not fun. That is not fun. Seriously. 28 hours of what? I'm sorry, not 20, 38. No. Well, I'm making things up. 12, 31. Making things up. 31. Make a long story short, I ran through the airport trying to find a hotel. The hotel I found was a stupid hotel. Expensive, but not only that. I was able to book a hotel room from 1 o'clock. By that time, it was 1 o'clock in the morning until 7 a.m. Why? Why do I even have to bother? So then I thought, okay, I gotta find an escape route. So I have to get out of the airport, get into the city. What city? It's not even Istanbul. It's outside of Istanbul. It's somewhere in the Black Sea. Sure, I mean, who knows where I'm going to end up? Syria? What is this place? How do I get a taxi? How much is going to cost? I'm thinking, oh, good grief. It's going to be a long night. So, and then here's this idea. So I spotted a few young fellows, and I thought, if I have to ask someone, it's got to be young fellows. So I came to this young guy. Look, I need a hotel, and I just thinking about how to get a taxi so they do what they don't overcharge me. So help me with it. And he looked at my map and everything. And said, you don't really need a hotel. Go to that lounge and. You know, you pay for tonight. They provide the food and the sofa for you. You'll be fine. Seriously? So I don't have to leave the airport? No, sir. Just go there. So they took a totally different approach. I've tried to ask some other folks, the mature ones. I ended up nothing. Having nothing. So I went to this lounge, and the lady was so great. She was so gracious. Young lady. So it's my point. I'll explain why. She was so gracious. She listened to my story. She was filled with compassion. I said, you really need a place to sleep, right? Nothing else. Well, not right now, but in the morning I might want some food. But that's later. Right now I just want to sleep. And she kind of took a second. And then she said, look, you don't have to go here. Come here. I mean, just go to this. I mean, find that place. And they have this sleeping car cabins. So that's little, like, three chairs about that way, wide. So you kind of creep into this. There's a rolled-up top, and you can sleep there. You know what? It's better than on the floor. You pay a little money for it. So I ran to that place, found those funny inventions. I'm booking it, and the guy is another guy. I mean, he wants to know my story. I mean, what is it? What's the deal? I explain it. He was filled with compassion. He said, all right, well, you pay for X amount of hours, I'll cut it in half. It will be on me, so you would get some sleep. So I did. I got up in the morning, so I rested up. I've had my Turkish breakfast. It was great. I spent the rest of my time walking through the airport, listening to the sermons. I mean, I've had a great time. I really did. Although it was 19 hours later, I've had a great time. My point is, it was so much complications. So I expected to be smooth. I'm going to the landmark. It's something good. It's a holy experiment right here in America. I have to get there. It's wonderful. But then why there are so much obstacles in the way? And by the time I got to the airplane, I figured out why. So the gentleman, I was sitting in the middle row, and to my left and to my right, there were the exit rows. And we understand that if you want to have a comfortable flight for 12 hours, you have to have enough legroom. So there is an extra mile you would be willing to go to get an aisle seat, right? Here's this guy. A young fellow who is in an aisle seat. He moves over to my row. He said, sir, would you mind me sitting next? Fine. I mean, there's two seats in between us. All right. So boarding is completed. And here is this Indian family that runs through the airplane to our area, 12 of them. So they fill in every spot in the airplane, every possible, including those two seats. And the guy wasn't sure if they're going to kick them back to his neglected aisle seat, exit row seat. So he asked me permission, can I sit next to you? I said, yeah, please come and sit next to me. And we begin to talk. The guy's going to talk my ear off for about an hour. We talked the business and that and that. And he's a young fellow, about 30 years old. He talks and talks and talks until he comes to the point when he wants to know more about me. And he says, what do you do for a living? I mean, how many kids do you have? I said, two kids. Oh, wow. I mean, what are they doing? I said, well, my daughter, she's a priest in England. He almost lost his breath. What? A priest? I mean, how old is she? Well, she's 25. Why? I mean, no, I don't understand. What happened? His world just crashed on him. Right there, crashed. 25 years old, chooses the career of a priest. What's going on? Who are you? I am a priest too. Oh, my goodness. Now he goes nuts. What? And then for the rest of the flight, we talked about God, talked about purposes of God, talked about this and that. It was so good. I didn't have to tell him anything. He was kicking it out of me. He was pulling it out everywhere. He wanted to know it all. He wanted to know, how did you start? I mean, what God did to you? I mean, what convinced you? He wanted to know everything. I've never had such a testimony of me coming to Christ that way for a long time. But my point is, there was a different reality, a different layer to my universe that I didn't know. It operates based on a different sets of laws, something that we have not yet studied. So the obstacle in front of me was the opportunity. It was not an obstacle for bad. It was actually for good. If I understand my role as a messenger, and here's the tough part. If I understand my role as a messenger, then I understand my responsibility. I'm no longer has to be set in my own ways, thinking, okay, this is the only way how things can work for me. This is the only way I can deliver my message. This is the only way how do I present it. No, you're wrong. The guy wanted to know about God, but differently. I had to go an extra mile. I had to be, thank God I was reading the C.S. Lewis just before he got into my next to my seat. I had something to tell him. The guy is intelligent. The guy is PhD in economy. The guy just lost half of a million. And he talks about it like he lost a chewing gum. Half of a million? Yeah. Now I am sweating. But the point of it is, it's such a great mission to be a messenger, to be able to relate to someone. See, the problem is that we as a church folks, we become so irrelevant to the world. We talk things that they don't understand. Not because what we are talking about is no good. No. It's the best thing that you can ever have in your life. But how do you deliver it? How do I deliver it? I'm being sent with this message. And my job is to put the receiver of the message on the first place. What do I do so he can understand that? What do I do? I remember part of my work assignment was working with Dale. So there was time when he was gone, and I still had to meet with certain officials in Ukraine. So here is a deputy minister of information policy. It's a lady, and she is a Muslim lady, okay? She invites me to that coffee shop next, across the street from the government building. I'm there. I'm there. No experience. Nothing. Really nothing. So we talk about business, and then obviously there's time for coffee. And I'm thinking, how do I begin to preach? What do I have to tell her? I mean, where do I start? I mean, what? And I've tried every curveball I could possibly think of. I've tried this and that. She did not respond at all. I mean, there's no positive response at all. There's nothing. I'm trying directly, indirectly. I mean, very carefully, because you have to be careful. You have to make sure that she understands. Not that we have to be afraid that she got scared. No. But she would receive the message. So until I've reached the certain point that I ran out of options, and the only option I had left was my family. Family, and I began to testify about my kids and what God did in their lives. And she just lit up. She wanted to know. She wanted to listen. I just realized I've done this whole bunch of stuff. Not for nothing. That was a great lesson. This whole bunch of stuff that was totally irrelevant to her. And it taught me a lesson. If someone is rejecting the message, it's not because the message is bad. It's not because, I mean, there's something that he doesn't like about you. But there might be something about the way we deliver, we convey the message to them. What if there's something, like with my son? Sometimes we talk, not argue, but talk about different aspects of life. And his perspective is little bit different than mine. It's the same truth. We agree upon that, but the approach to things are different. And it taught me to trust him. There was a moment when as a father, I knew this is the right way. And he said, Dad, things are no longer the same. Try this one. And I want to say, you know what? Here's the executive decision. And as I held my breath for a second, I said, you know what? Let's do it. Let's do it your way. Let's try. And you know what? He was right. And thank God I was not stupid and I let him do that to me, because I've learned we have to be a messengers of God that would deliver the message that God has entrusted us with on the quality level so people would understand. And the best part of my journey here was that at the baggage claim, the guy asked me, how do I begin? I mean, what do I do? Where do I start? And I thought, well, we don't have an altar here. We don't really have church folks. What do we do? And we are waiting for our luggage. And waiting for our luggage. So why don't we just pray right now, right here? Very simple prayer. So I prayed and I've asked God, Lord, reveal yourself to him. He had some issues and questions and I prayed over it too. But I trusted the Lord. Father, I did my part. At the best of my ability. Now it's your time. Show up. Glorify your name. So we became friends and I can't wait the time that we are coming back. So we're getting together for coffee to talk more. And I got encouraged into discipleship. So I'm thinking, I'm encouraged and scared. I have to disciple the PhD in economy. Okay. But that's what the God wants. Well, and that's right. So I encourage you guys to be the messengers that would be willing to go an extra mile, because we know, because we treasure the message. The message is good. It never changes. May God bless you.